When the Islamists recognized that they could not blast through the walls of the state because their groups were easily penetrated, and the regime's use of torture and capital punishment proved so effective, the survivors staged a tactical retreat to the greener pastures of Europe, Southeast Asia, Central Asia, East Africa, and America. In some of these new fields of jihad, weak or non-existent law enforcement, porous customs and immigration services, and corrupt officialdom enabled jihadists to set up shop. Where there was a failed state like Afghanistan to feed off, even better. Many Egyptian Islamic Jihad members, fleeing the wrath and ruthlessness of Egyptian security forces, regrouped in Afghanistan, or redeployed from there to other fields of jihad in the Balkans or Central Asia. Some discovered that Europe provided an ideal staging ground. Civil liberties legislation and human rights NGOs smoothed the passage of many hardened killers into Europe. They blended easily into that continent's large and growing Muslim community, and they found in it ready recruits. Throughout Europe, young Muslims are becoming angrier, more radical, and more active. Excluded by racist societies, denied equal opportunity, and denigrated by their own westernized elites, they have developed an exclusivist mindset. A vicious cycle has developed, in which the indifference or outright contempt of one side feeds the same emotions on the other. In radical mosques in France, Germany, Belgium, and the UK, young people are told they live in Dar al-Harb, the realm of war, and that the people around them are the enemies of Islam. 100 British youths went to Afghanistan and Kashmir to fight against the infidels. European Muslims increasingly consider themselves Muslims first and foremost, citizens of their own countries only as an administrative matter. As they begin to articulate their alienation from European society, they come to see themselves as Bin Laden sees them, oppressed Muslims whose suffering calls for jihad. In the technologically advanced countries of Europe, they acquire the skills required to wreak havoc anywhere in the world. If the jihadists ran into a dead end in the countries they came from, Bin Laden showed them that they could take the war to the far enemy, whose destruction would in turn bring on the collapse of their near enemy. The delegitimation of regimes and emergence of religious violence are unquestionably linked to the failure of leaders to cope with massive, region-wide socio-economic problems. The biggest of these problems is population. Even though fertility rates are declining, the population of the Middle East and North Africa could reach 600 million by 2025. In South Asia, the population of Pakistan alone will break 200 million. Within the next 15 years, Egypt will grow by 25% to 85.2 million people. Jordan's population will increase by 44%, Syria's by 39%, Saudi Arabia's by 56%, and Palestine's, the West Bank and Gaza, by 64%. Even more alarming is the changing age distribution within these populations. In Iran, Pakistan, and the Arab world, 50% or more of the population is under 20 years of age. High concentrations of young people in a society, especially teenagers, correlates well with violence and poorly with stability. From the French Revolution to the Cultural Revolution in China and the student movement in Europe and America in the late 1960s, youth bulges have accomplished many of history's most dramatic upheavals. Education and literacy have been spreading, but not quickly enough. Pakistan is worst off, with adult literacy hovering at about 40%. Egypt, Morocco, Sudan, and Yemen have achieved rates closer to 50%, which is still not enough to propel economic growth. While Algeria, Iraq, Libya, Tunisia, Saudi Arabia, and Syria have reached literacy levels between 50% and 66%. Iran and Kuwait, where more than three-quarters of adults are literate, have done much better than the rest of the region. All these countries, with the possible exception of Pakistan, are likely to improve in the future. Yet while secondary school enrollment is generally increasing, The pace of enrollment is faster for boys than for girls. That could mean little net diminution in women's fertility or unemployment. Moreover, the quality of the education is often poor. Almost every country in the region emphasizes rote learning and does little to foster the capacity for critical thinking. As a consequence, the region is filled with young men who are too well-educated for the lowliest kinds of manual labor, but lack the skills that would enable them to join the globalized economy.